What's up, guys? Thanks for checking out episode 120 of the True to Size podcast. I am the guest today, Bryce Kicks, Bryson Moore. Thanks for tuning in, guys.
What's going on, everyone, and welcome to True to Size. We are a weekly podcast centered around the wild world of sneakers. I will be your host today. My name is Lawrence Hopkins, and I'm joined by the rest of the quarantine at Canada Got Soul, Mr. Joel Hernandez.
Yo.
Mr. Alvin Martinez.
What up, what up, what up, what up?
And are you guys ready? Even though he already introduced himself, are you guys ready anyways?
Oh. Yeah, bars.
All right, so today we're talking views. No Drake, although he is from the six. If you're trying to learn how to style your shoes, he's got your fix. The place to go for all the best tips and tricks. A young up-and-comer, make sure you remember the name. It's Bryce Kicks.
Hey.
The air horn would have hit right there if we had that. When's the mixtape dropping? It already dropped. It just was on a streaming platform that no one subscribes to. That's the issue. My LimeWire mixtape is killing it right now. You guys should hear it. Bryson, thanks for being here. We appreciate it. Thanks for coming out. Glad to hear that you're doing well. It's good to have you. It's good to have a YouTuber. We were talking about this earlier, but we haven't had a YouTuber in a while. So we look forward. I mean, Sean doesn't count.
Okay.
We don't include him. But thanks for being here. It's going to be some good YouTube talks later. But we've got a fun show today. We're going to talk resale during the fire round. We've got some suspicious activity to cover in this week in Kicks. And we're going to talk chicken wings in NSR. And because we've got Bryson here, we've got to play a game of 21 questions. And then we're going to get into his soulography. Finally, we're going to talk YouTube. Is YouTube sustainable? Is the game too saturated? And what does it take to really make it? But first, Alvin.
Whoosh, fire round.
Yes, the fire round. We like to start every show with a quick hitting question from you, our listeners. And this week's question comes from Jump In With 2 Feet. Good friend of the show, Mr. Mike. He says, in honor of everyone catching L's on the Chunky Donkey release, except for NetMag, because he gets everything, when is the best time to buy a shoe for resale that everyone's going to be after? Is it before the release, like an early pair? Is it the day of the release, or is it after the release? And if it's after the release, how long would you wait? 2 weeks, a month, 6 months, a year? This one's interesting, because I feel like it depends on the actual sneaker. I was watching, like, for this release specifically, I can speak on it, because I was watching it as soon as it loaded up on StockX. So, I mean, before they came out, they were going for like 1.8. They went up to about $2,000 Canadian at some point. And then when they came out, they actually went higher. Like, they're up to like 2.5, I think approaching 3 now. So, like, the answer that I wanted to give was you should probably wait till probably about a week or 2 weeks after, let the hype die down a little bit, and then jump when the prices start to dip. But it's a bad example because for this specific release, as soon as they came out, they went up, which makes no sense because you would think that the supply would be greater after they come out. But when does sneakers ever make sense in the first place? So I'm just going to go ahead and say about 2 weeks after as my answer. But Alvin, what do you think?
Oh, man. Like you said, though, it depends on the shoe. But
yeah,
give it like a year or two, man.
Oh, you're patient.
Yeah. Yo, real talk.
Save up. Save up on that.
One, save up. Two, people are going to forget about that shoe and hop on the next hype, and they're going to want to get rid of that to cop the next hype. unless, you know, it's like a true reason. Like, OD is not going to change your prices just because it's OD and, you know, people will buy their stuff. But if it's someone else, like, online that's just trying to make more money to get more kicks, then you could probably strike up a deal, hit them up with, like, a trade or something. But, yeah, man, just wait because, like, yo, you don't really need them in the first place. You have enough kicks to begin with. So,
Alvin is spitting facts, first of all, and Alvin is a patient man, apparently.
Yeah.
Because I don't know that I could wait a year. Joel, what do you think?
Oh, man, it's so hard. Like this release, for example, was just crazy.
This is definitely an insane release. Yeah,
it was a crazy release. Like, social media just took it off. Like, you know what I mean? And it just boosted the hype around it. Like, the hype basically built it. Like, it evolved itself.
Kind of thing.
And for you to pull the trigger, like I don't know, like it's hard. It's hard to say, right? You know what I mean? Like, you don't want to drop like 1.5 right just before the drop.
Yeah.
And then next thing you know, it's like a risk you're taking, right? But I don't know, like a year and a half maybe, wait it out. But
oh my God.
Yeah, it's like the hype is still going to be there. You know what I mean?
I would say it's about half of that, because especially now during quarantine, there's a couple shoes where, you know, it's hard to predict resale. So, for example, if you take like the Royal Toe Air Jordan 1, there's like 6 different release dates. So like after the first release, that's probably when they're going to be at their peak. Because if you think about it, Livestock, Nike, they all had different release dates, right? So as these sort of restocks happen, as these delayed shipments during quarantine happen, the price usually goes downhill from there, right? So with these Dunks, I mean, this is sort of a specialty novelty type sneaker. So I think the resale for these are probably going to go up. But you know, it's another factor is like when you get a pair of shoes, you just want to sell them right away. And so over time, I feel like they sort of decrease. But for the Dunks particularly, I don't know. I think this one is probably just going to keep going up and up, especially with the popularity of the Dunks.
This specific release, if I had to put my net magnetism hat on for a second, I would say that within the next 2 weeks, you'll probably see prices start to dip. And then over time, like if we're talking in a year from now, I think that's back up to like a $3,000 shoe, because it's a crazy shoe. And I think it's one of those shoes that's going to go up over time, but they always, at some point they have to dip. There's no way it just steadily skyrockets in price. Like it would just.
Plus with the other pair with the specialty packaging, which I think, I think on Instagram, they were like $4,000 on StockX, right at the same time. So.
That's one thing I don't understand, though. Like, the regular shoe is going for, we'll say, 2.5, and the special box is going for, like, $4,000. These people are paying a $1,500 for a tube of cardboard. Yeah. Yeah. Like, I know I've always been the one to preach, I love the special box, I would pay more for a special box, but not that much more. No, sir. Mike, hopefully that helps answer your question, and hopefully you weren't specifically asking when to buy a pair of Chunky Dunkies, because I will be very upset if you do buy that shoe, because I want it personally. If you would like to submit a question for the fire round and have us answer it on the pod, please shoot us a message on Instagram or email us at canadagotsoul@gmail.com. Next up, the CGS picks. Each week we all pick an upcoming sneaker to analyze, dissect, and give our thoughts on. Then we decide if it's poop, scoop, whoop-de-whoop, or Alvin's trademark phrase,
super cute.
So I know last week I said that the youngest was going to go first. And I don't know if Alvin planned this or not, but I said next week, maybe if we have a younger guest, they can go first. I take it back. I'm going to go first still.
Hey, I'm probably older than you think I am. I have a very young face. No one ever guesses my age correctly. But
either way, I'm 19, going first.
Yeah. Okay. Either way,
he's 17. We already know that. So. All right. So my pick this week is the long-awaited, in the sense that it never officially released, the SVSM Away LeBron 8, the Saint Vincent Saint Mary. LeBron 8. It was originally a PE, a player edition that was exclusively made for St. Vincent St. Mary, which was LeBron's high school. And it's now apparently getting a wider release either late this year or early in 2021. The LeBron 8 is one of my favorite LeBrons ever. Like, the shape and the construction is just really well done with the mix of materials and everything. This specific pair is all green, basically. It's like a army green with some gold accents. It's nubuck mixed with flywire, mixed with synthetic leather, just all around a really good shoe. And I'm hoping they don't change it too much from the original sample version, because that was a banger, and these have the potential to be a banger too. They're bringing back a bunch of other LeBron 8s and such next year, so hopefully they keep these true as well. But yeah, these are super cute for me. They're probably going to retail, I would guess, at like $250 Canadian, so that'll probably keep me away. But yeah, a really cool shoe overall, and I'm excited to see what other LeBrons they bring back, because I need a pair of South Beaches. It's been 10 years. Come on. I need a pair of South Beaches already. Joel, go ahead. What you got?
Okay. What I got is one of the four Space Hippie, Nike Space Hippie drops. I have the fourth one.
The Space Hippie 4.
Space Hippie 4. So it's not the high cut. It's the one that it's like a lower cut. It's like with the laces intertwined by like the foot kind of thing.
Okay.
You know what I mean? But anyways, it drops June 11th. It was supposed to drop for the Tokyo Olympics. It's the most lightweight shoe out of the three. It's got the Fly-E system where you just slide your foot in kind of thing. All of the four shoes are all, it's called space waste. So it's like 85 to 95% like polyester pulled from recycled plastic bottles, t-shirts, yarn scraps. Like it's all recycled materials that are all on like the uppers of these shoes.
So they're garbage.
So it's like all eco-friendly. Yeah, pretty much. You know what I mean? So like
that's a great pick though, for real. And I think that moving forward, a lot of these companies are going to look into more sustainability. And I think this is just the tip of the iceberg in terms of what else we're going to see. And it's interesting to see that, like, how the waste, it makes that one color. Like, it's sort of like if you were to chew like every flavor of bubble gum and like spit it out, that's kind of how it would look.
Yeah.
I think it's really dope, and I'm going to be copying one of them for sure.
I think that's I read the color code just now, and it says every color of bubble gum chewed and then spit out. And that's the color code on the actual box. Yeah. It's crazy how you knew that.
It's crazy. Yeah. It's crazy. it's the one with the on the outer foot. It's like that, the embroidered crimson. It's the crimson switch.
Yes.
So by your toe, like on the inner side of the foot, that's where the mini swoosh is. So I don't know if you guys know which one it is, but
yeah,
man, it's the dopest one out of it. I like it. Out of the four, drops June 11th, 130 US, which comes out to like 170 something like that Canadian. Mm-hmm. But yeah. Try to get them, man. Try to get them if you can. Super
That's a really good price point.
Like, you know what I mean? It's not like, you know, for all that quality material.
Yeah. Wow. You would think that the process that they have to go through to do all that would have them be higher. It's good that they're making an environmentally friendly shoe and it's not unaffordable, so nobody's going to buy it. Like, if this is the price point that they can keep going forward with this kind of technology, then this stuff is going to do really well. Really well.
I think, like, if you think of the psychology of the shoe, the fact that it's made from waste, I feel like people would be a little bit hesitant if it was a $300 shoe when it's literally made from scrap material. So that makes sense.
That's very true too. Real, yeah.
Yeah. And I can't wait for Bryce to show us, you know, how to rock it and stuff like that.
I can't wait for this one. I cannot wait either.
Next time someone tells you your kicks are trash, you can be like, hell yeah, they are.
How did you know?
We do have to give one quick shout out, though. Shout out to Adidas and Parley, because I think they're the ones who started this a long time ago with all their Ultra Boosts and stuff made from recycled plastic from the ocean. They definitely paved the way for all this to be possible. So quick shout out to them. But all four of these pairs shit on all their Parley pairs, unfortunately. these are really, really well done. Joel, how did you rate these? What's that?
Price wise, too, they shit on the Parley one.
Parley was like $260, I think, for an Ultra Boost. Like we said, like, you think the sustainability costs a little bit of extra money. Maybe that's where that conception came from me. But yeah, really good price point on these. Joel, how do you rate it?
Based on the price point, I'd probably say like a scoop, man.
I think I agree. So, yeah.
But yeah, man.
Hopefully they're not too limited. That would suck.
Yeah.
Alvin, what do you got?
So my pick is the Under Armour 2020 Pride Pack, specifically the Hover Phantom 1. This specific one is a slip-on, which is dope as F. Because you know what? Summertime, you really don't trying to like tie your shoes. You just want something to slip on and just walk out. Dope thing about this, though, is that they also made apparel for it. So, I mean, obviously there's not going to be a parade this year. But for future Pride parades, you can definitely like dress up and You already know Under Armour makes their stuff, either heat gear or like that other one that keeps you cool. I can't remember what it's called.
Under Armour specific version. Yeah, I don't remember what it's called. Man. Yeah.
Cool wear or
something like that. Yeah, sure. Cool wear. The
Nice Kick. Were you a fan of the Nice Kicks Ultra Boost they put out?
Huge fan of those. That's why I like these two. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very similar vibes. The full tie dye is like a while ago. Yeah, killer.
Yeah. And I love how they still made it seem as if like they literally dipped the shoe.
Yeah.
Into like, you know, like old school, like homemade DIY kind of looking stuff. And just the colors go so well. I love the white midsole. It just brings everything together. And then the sock upper, you know, it's going to be dope for summer. And another dope thing that they did was they also created a grant that will, you know, hopefully help LGBTQ community-focused nonprofits during COVID. And you can get up to, like, $2,500 or $15,000, depending on, like, the situation.
Damn.
So that's pretty cool too.
That is good, man.
Yeah, these already dropped. They're already available on underarmor.ca. Retail price for these is $140 USD. Yeah. So they're probably about $165 Canadian. Yeah, these are dope, man. Like super, super duper cute for me, but only because I've been on a copping spree, and if I buy another pair of shoes, I'm sleeping outside, and I don't want that.
You can come to my house, bro. You can sleep in my house and buy all the shoes you want, Alvin. Bryson, I was told in an unprecedented move, you have two shoes to discuss for us.
I got two.
That's fine.
Is that cool?
That's we will allow it. Bro. I consulted the judges, and they're okay with it.
Amazing. So my first one is the Nike Air Trainer 3. I think they're releasing next year. I think that's when they're supposed to be coming out. So I can take either of the colorways, whether it's a medicine ball or chlorophylls. Alvin, I think you mentioned the Vitex were coming out. So I can take all of those. I really love those 90s trainer shoes. You know, you can throw the Agassiz in there. You can throw in the Bo Jackson trainers. And I think it's been a couple years since those, or maybe I missed them. I don't know, but I feel like it's been a couple years since they've put some of those old trainers out. So I don't know. I'm here for it. I think that, you know, especially during that time period, the funky colors that they were putting together with, you know, a lot of infrared. So I think that's a dope shoe that I'm looking out for. If it's true, you know how rumors go. But if it's true, those are a definite scoop for me.
Sweet. Yeah, I'm a huge fan. I don't know the last time, you're right, any of those really came out. Like, they seem to do them in, like, spurts every couple of years, though, like they're doing next year. They will drop, like, 3-4 colorways. But I feel like it should be one of those steady things that you can always kind of find a colorway or two at Foot Locker, because they would sell.
Yeah, and you know what? I was looking into them, and I think that the Air Trainer one, the Bo Jackson ones, I think those came out in 1990. So this is literally, like, the 30-year anniversary of them.
Oh, okay, that makes sense.
Who knows what, you know, they're trying to put together. So
dope. And your second one, yes,
is the Liverpool LeBron Low. I don't know where I saw that, but I saw somewhere that they're coming out next year. Yep. LeBron 9, my favorite LeBron in the entire series. And specifically, I'm a big soccer fan. I'm a big Liverpool fan as well. So a lot of these soccer related sneakers are kind of shitty. There's a couple exceptions. I think Ronaldo had a 97 that came out last year, the gold ones.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Pretty cool. But hey, I'm here for any type of soccer themed sneaker. So like I said, love the LeBron 9, big Liverpool fan. So yeah, those are two for me as well. It's not the nicest shoe either, but like, I don't know, for like the novelty of it, you know, that's what I'm at.
Yeah.
This is one of the shoes. It's funny because I remember when I worked at Foot Locker, long time ago, and this shoe came in. I had it on hold for so long, like months. I had it on hold in the back room, and I never ended up buying it. And I kind of regret it because the colors, it's almost like a watermelon-ish vibe. Like it's a cool ass shoe. But they were really not the best for basketball. So that's just my only takeaway I have. Yeah. maybe for soccer, I don't know, but probably not either. Yeah. Arguably would be worse for soccer than for basketball.
Yeah. think about it, though, it was kind of a strange release. Like, I think LeBron like has some sort of stake in the team. I think that's where that storytelling came from. But ultimately, like, it's kind of random. Like, why Liverpool? You know, like, they're not even a Nike jersey sponsor.
Yeah,
I think it's one of those things where it was just a colorway, and then they called it the Liverpools. I don't know if it's an official like Liverpool
My quick Googles here says that LeBron does have a stake in Liverpool. Quite a big one, actually. It's about a $32 million stake in Liverpool. And the actual sneaker does have, I'm going to assume this is the logo. It's like dragons on the heel, or is it like a dragon or some sort of, yeah. So the shoe does have the little dragon looking guy on the heel. So it must be an official collaboration with Liverpool. So there you go. I guess that's where it's good storytelling either way. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Next.
Oh, yeah. That's a scoop.
That's a scoop. Wow. A double scoop. Two scoops, if you will. Shout out to Ben and Jerry's. Shout out to Haagen-Dazs. Next up, This Week in Kicks. Now is the part of the show where we discuss the current headlines and happenings in the world of sneakers. And I just have one for you guys today. We had a busy news week earlier in the week, so I just have one that I found, and it's coming out of Vancouver. So Nike Vancouver has a new raffle system, and I really don't like it. So amid the COVID-19 pandemic, stores have obviously been getting creative about how they are releasing limited sneakers and how they're doing drops. Over the weekend, Nike Vancouver announced that they're going to be holding over-the-phone raffles for upcoming launches. So it's going to be a similar type raffle process, except an employee is going to take your name and phone number over the phone and enter you into their raffle. And if your name is drawn, you'll be contacted with instructions on how to pick up your shoes. So I don't really know where to start. All your guys' faces tell me that you feel the same way about it, so I guess we can go off of that. I think it's really ridiculous and silly, to be honest. Either figure out a better way, do an online, Google Forms are free, get an Instagram, like something, or don't release them at all and wait until you can open and do a big fat restock. But over the phone seems like it's screaming, one, for everyone in a household calling, getting your kids, husband's daughter's dog to sign up for you, and also repeat entries, and also them not even putting your name on the sheet at all, really. Like, where's the proof that they're actually writing down your name and doing a draw legitimately? So there's all that, obviously. I think I see where this is coming from, because I believe that this Nike store is one of the third-party owned Nike stores that we've seen popping up. So there's one in Yorkdale, there's one in Eaton Centre. The ones that are not officially Nike owned, they're just sort of co-conspirators, if you will. So I guess this specific Nike store doesn't actually have an Instagram account, because it would be weird to set up as a Nike Vancouver when you're not actually Nike. But still, like, that's one of the most sus things I've ever heard in my life. Any thoughts? Alvin, you look like you're disgusted and you live in Toronto, not Vancouver.
Bro, that just screams back fucking door. Bro.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
How are you going to prove that my name went into a draw?
Uh-huh.
One, if I don't get an email notification, because now I'm new school, I don't give a... Two.
Yeah.
Like, yo, it's not my fault. You don't want... Or you need stuff for your staff to do, so you want the whole city of Vancouver calling your phones. One, your call waiting only holds one other person, unless you're going to three-way people to help with that. That shit ain't going to pop off, yo. Like, that's crazy talk, bro. Like, you're going to be on the phone for hours. Vancouver is going to be shut down. Like, no one's going to be able to call anything. Yeah.
That's so crazy.
Yeah, it's kind of ridiculous. Like, I don't even know, like, who thought that was a good idea, who approved that. I don't see it lasting at all. Like, I think once Nike HQ gets wind of it, they're going to be like, okay, you guys are stupid, shut that shit down. There's no way I could see that continuing for many, many different reasons. But yeah, and I think we all kind of know that the whole raffle system that usually goes on is kind of suspicious as it is. I mean, like, going into Foot Locker and writing your name on a piece of paper and then relying on an employee to randomly pick names off that list is already kind of, you know, suspicious. But the fact that I can't even see them writing my name on the list, like, I at least give me that. Let me see it happening. Let me FaceTime you, Nike Vancouver, so you can at least show me that you're writing my name. But yeah, I don't know. There's got to be a better way.
I just hate raffles to begin with, man. I never win anything, and you never know. You just put it out there. I remember lining up or waiting in line for the Royal Ones back in 2000. I think it was 11 or whatever. And you know what? When you're in a line, I know it can cause mayhem, but if I'm the first guy there, the early bird gets the worm. If I set my alarm for 3 o'clock in the morning and I'm there for 4 o'clock, at least I know if I put my chair down and I'm the first in line, I'm there.
Yeah,
but of course violence comes into play, so that's out of the question. But to your point, Alvin, I can just imagine a guy with the air pen be like, "Oh yeah, okay, Alvin, okay."
Yeah, yeah.
That, yeah. As he writes down his brother's name for the fourth time in a row. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. There's a lot of dyslexic people out there too. So you know what I mean? If you're gonna write down a name and then a number, forget it. You're not gonna get any calls, man.
And then you know it's got to be a re-raffle, and look at that, all the employees won. Oh, look, what a surprise.
Exactly.
Yeah, Nike Vancouver, you got to fix up, because that's an awful idea, and you guys are going to get absolutely shit on if you go through with that. Next up, previously in Kicks, this is the part of the show where we review our latest pickups and recap the latest happenings in our sneaker lives. Joel, any pickups in the last couple days?
Nada, nothing.
Nothing for you. For me, it's funny that Alvin mentioned the Under Armour Pride Pack, because I Under Armour actually sent over the clothing that Alvin mentioned. So it was the t-shirt and the shorts with their Under Armour branding on both, with the tie-dye look. Actually, I haven't even opened the box yet, but I know that's what's in the box. I just have been busy. But yeah, thank you, Under Armour, for that. It's really dope, especially because I've been running now. I need a bunch of stuff to get super sweaty in, so that's ideal for me. Thank you very much, Under Armour. Alvin, anything for you?
I was going to say that same thing, yo. Under Armour sent that. I opened the box because luckily I got home early enough.
Because you're a good guy.
And yo, it's dope, man. They're like a pair of like sweat shorts.
Yeah.
Black with like a, I think the Under Armour logo has a tie-dye on it. And the t-shirt's the same thing. I can't wait to sweat in those while I walk because I'm fat. and then what else? I think that's it. I didn't pick up nothing else.
That better be it. A good guy. That had better be it. Bryson, any pickups in the last couple weeks that you want to note?
Man, May has been a good and a bad month for me.
Let's hear it.
I picked up the Fire Red 5s. I got the Royal Toe 1s. And I got that GST check in the mail. So I got the Air Jordan 1 Bloodlines.
Hey.
Shout out Next Drop. I still haven't received them. My package is in outer space somewhere.
It feels that way sometimes.
I got, two pairs of Pumas. I got the Future Rider and the Ralph Sampson Triple White Lows. I want to, you know, diversify and put out, because I'm such a Jordan guy, so I want to, you know, put out some different stuff. And then I'm going to be getting the Flint 13s this weekend, which I am very, very excited about.
Wow. Cool. I can see why you said good/bad month, because that's, could end you in the doghouse, but you're also quite happy with it. So that's good.
Exactly.
Of all those, what's your favorite pickup?
Oh, man, that's a tough one. You know what? Coming off the Last Dance, those Fire Red 5s are looking mighty fine. I have an Excel spreadsheet of every OG Jordan, and I'm crossing off the list slowly but surely. So that is my
nice. Nice.
The game worn, not game worn, but like all of the shoes we played in. But also it's hard to like, you know, Air Jordan 1s are obviously amazing too. So I do like the Royal Toe 1s.
Nice. When you said game worn for a second, I thought you were the one who spent $560,000 on that pair.
Yeah, for sure.
I was like, damn, game worn only for Bryson.
I was listening to the podcast with the last week or 2 weeks ago, and, you know, Shoezium, I think you said that Shoezium bought it, right? And, man, I used to binge watch his videos. I remember seeing him on Pawn Stars. Like,
I love
that one video he has. I think it's like 9 or 10 minutes long of him doing the tour of the whole museum.
That's cool.
Man, I love that video.
Does he still, it was open to the public at one point, wasn't it? Like you could buy tickets and go. Is that still a thing, or is he like downsizing now?
No. So what happened was, so he got banned by Nike because he had a whole resale operation through eBay.
Oh.
And then he put this museum together after being banned by them. So he was like, I'm going to sell my entire inventory. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to create the world's best Nike museum. So he sold all of his pairs, which were, you know, upwards of 50 to 100,000 pairs of shoes in warehouses in California. And then he put together that museum, and word caught online, and he actually had the top tier Nike CEOs, Mark Parker, Tinker Hatfield, come into the warehouse to go see, basically get a tour of it. But the problem was is that rent was so high for the warehouse because it was so massive, and he stopped reselling sneakers. So what ended up happening is he had to close down the museum, unfortunately. But for a while there, those Nike execs, this is all a YouTube video that he explained it in, the Nike execs were so inspired, they were actually paying his rent for the warehouse. But then came to a point where they're like, there's just no point in it anymore, right? So they eventually scrapped it, and I think he sold all of his pairs on eBay.
Wow. Damn, I didn't know it was that deep with Shoezium. I need to go a little bit more in depth on this guy. I had no idea.
Crazy. I don't know if you guys remember, but like, what was it? There was an account. It was like Sneaker Kicks for You. I can't remember, but there's, if you go type in Shoezium, there's a whole bunch of gems on there.
Damn, I need to 100% do that. Thank you. Damn, I knew there was a reason we had Bryson on. I knew it. Next up, thumbs up, thumbs down. In this part of the show, we give our opinion on various sneaker-related topics with zero context or discussion. All we're allowed to say is thumbs up or thumbs down. And this one might seem easy, but I think I just might overthink things. So maybe that's why I think it's hard. This week is Saucony. Alvin, thumbs up, thumbs down.
Up.
Joel.
Up.
I'm down. Bryson.
I think I got to go down. Maybe 4 years ago.
That nope, you're not allowed. You're not allowed to. Not allowed. Unfortunately. Thumbs down. Yeah, thumbs down. I wish I could explain this week, but I can't. Believe me. Next up, NSR. We talk about sneakers a lot. So in this weekly segment, we're going to take 30 seconds out of the show to discuss something completely irrelevant to the world of sneakers. And this is a big one, boys. This is going to determine probably how I think of you for the rest of our lives here on the planet Earth. So I was eating chicken wings yesterday. They were delicious. And they were from Wild Wing. And I want to know, are you a drumstick guy or are you a wing guy? Which chicken wing are you? Alvin.
Drumstick.
Yeah? Like, no question. Just...
There's more meat on him, bro. Like... It's easier to eat. You don't have to go in between the bone. Like, it's just there. And you eat the whole thing. You just leave nothing on it.
I have to agree with you. I'm a drumstick guy. It's a one-hand operation, so I can have some other form of food in my other hand. And I don't have to get that other hand dirty. You know, like Alvin said, you can one bite a drumstick quite easily. If you're talented enough, you can one bite that thing and just go to town. So I'm definitely a drumstick guy for sure. Joel, what about you?
Oh, man. I'm a wing guy, yo.
Oh.
I love the wings, bro. I love, like, breaking them in half, yo.
And yes! Then,
it's like you try to leave the meat off of the bone. So it's like, yeah, I got more meat on this bone. So like, and then that's it, yo. That's it. Two bones. Boop.
Yeah. I couldn't agree more. Sometimes when it comes to wings, I like to work for my food a little bit. You get it. You clean it with one, you clean it with the other, and then you're done. Because I find that there's a little too much cartilage on the drumstick.
Sometimes at the end, I can see.
At the top.
See, but what? Then your other hand is dirty. And what if you're thirsty? When you get thirsty, you're like you're drinking with like your wrists. You have to use your wrist.
You gotta hook it with your pinkies, guys.
That's why you gotta get a juice box with a straw.
Straw. Oh,
straw.
No. See, Bryson likes to work for it. Like that's the primal instinct coming out. Like he wants to murder it just a little bit more. I'm just like easy, like just give it to me. Like I'm done here.
I got a bit of a wing story. A couple years ago when Hot Ones first came out, a buddy of mine, we were like, oh, let's kind of do our own version of it. So we went to Buffalo Wild Wing and we ordered the hottest wings that they have.
Oh, God.
I think they're called Inferno or something like that. When we ordered it, they looked at us. They're like, are you sure? And we're like, yeah, just give us the wings. So we get the wings. We got 2 pounds, one each.
Yeah.
And we sat. Glass of milk, glass of water, whatever, and we start pounding these wings back. And there's a bit of like a there's like a bit of a cycle that happens because your first initial bite is just like death. It's just the worst thing ever. And then throughout the middle, you kind of get adjusted to it. But as the more hot sauce goes on your lips start to burn. And then at the end of it, it's just a terrible experience because I don't know about you guys, but I don't drink glasses of milk. So like at the end of it, you've eaten a pound of wings. It's super spicy. So that already kind of messes up your stomach. You drink an entire glass of milk.
Yeah.
And then alongside that, you're also drinking water. So at the end of it, you just feel terrible.
You're bloated.
Oh, man.
Yeah. They were easily like the spiciest thing I've ever had, though.
That's crazy.
I don't understand people who like ungodly spicy foods. Like, I want to sit there and enjoy my food. I don't want to be miserable. I like milk just as much as the next guy, but I don't want to have to drink it to survive. Like, no thanks. I think that was about 30 seconds. So thank you, gentlemen, for your time. Next up, errors, edits, and e-messages. We're pretty smart guys, but from time to time, we make mistakes. So if you catch us slipping, hit us in the DM and we'll let the world know that we goofed. First up, from a recent friend of the show, recent member of the podcast, AO444. Four, I don't know how many fours, lots of fours. Ahmad. He says, just listening to the pod, I told you guys that the neutral gray or the natural gray, Jordan won it with 85 and OG Shape was going to come back out. He was the one who called that. So a couple days ago, we couldn't figure out who was the one on the podcast very recently called that they were going to come back. And then it was like less than a week later, it was started to be previewed that they were going to return. So shout out to Ahmad. You get 7 gold stars for that. You can cash those in for nothing. Next up. From a good friend of the show, Ash Bash Sneakers out of London. Yo. We have a lot of listeners from London and like England.
Hello,
and stuff. It's yeah, they don't sidebar. We did get a message and I forgot to put it in EEE before I get to Ash Bash. And it was from Cy Goss from our health frontline worker person from last week. He said that our English accents are about as good as Dick Van Dyke's in Mary Poppins. And I was like, oh my, is that a compliment or is that an insult? Because yeah, that sounds great to me, but I can see where it sounds kind of insulting at the same time. So thank you, I think, for that. So that was the sidebar. Sorry, back to Ash Bash's EE. So he says, longtime listener, first time messenger. Quick EEE, but more for some extra information on the UFC topic you had. He says that Reebok became a sponsor for the UFC 5 years ago. Before that, the fighters could wear whatever they wanted, and that made them make a lot more money because they could get their own sponsorships. There were actually 3 fighters with a Nike deal, John Jones, Anderson Silva, and Junior Dos Santos. They all had swoosh on their shorts back then. And he said other fighters like Luke Rockhold had an Adidas deal, and GSP was with Under Armour. But they were no longer allowed to rock any of that stuff once it was fight week, once they signed with Reebok. So I think he says, I think Nike being the sponsor could work out well, but I don't see any signature shoes working out because you don't wear shoes when you're fighting. But he says it would be great for Nike to have these fighters wearing their shoes to the cage during fight week and at the weigh-ins. So I'm kind of sold on that because when we mentioned the UFC getting a sponsor and it being Nike, we kind of said that having the swoosh on the in the octagon on the ring floor or carpet or mat or whatever they call it, getting all bloodied and there's like a guy passed out beside it wouldn't be good for Nike's PR. Like, it just doesn't seem like something they'd be down with. But sponsoring individual fighters, I think I could get on board with. Like, I could see them wanting the high profile guys wearing their stuff, similar to like how NBA players do the tunnel walk. It's a very similar vibe with fighters walking into the ring and walking into the weigh-in and stuff. So I could see that being a thing for sure. But yeah, I don't really have any more.
Jordan does sponsor boxing though, or they did. I know at one point.
Yeah, Roy Jones. Roy Jones Jr. was a Jordan boxer. Yeah.
And also another thing to your point though, a lot of those old UFC shorts, that was sort of their identity. So if you think of like Chuck Liddell, he was known as the Iceman. So he had like all of these cool ice effects on his shorts and stuff like that. And once that Reebok deal came in, it took a lot of their personality and a lot of their persona away. And it forced them to wear, you know, a brand that they didn't necessarily affiliate with. And, you know, I think you can draw on, you know, The Last Dance, you know, when Jordan covers his the Reebok logo with the American flag. Sort of a similar thing where, you know what, if you did have a deal with Nike, or if there was another brand that was, you know, had a stake in some of the fighters, and then you're forced to come out, you know, in some Reebok gear, it's kind of weird. I know that I do follow UFC quite a bit, and I do listen to, like, you know, different podcasts, Joe Rogan podcasts and stuff like that. And it's almost highly regarded that none of the fighters sort of approved of that Reebok deal.
That's unsurprising to me, to be honest, because it's really like a monopolizing deal. Like, they're not really given a choice at all. It's kind of an all-encompassing sponsorship, and they're like it or don't. Like, who cares?
It's great for Reebok, though.
Oh, 100%. Like, that's been their bread and butter for the past 5 years. I'm 100% sure that they're not going to re-sign with Reebok, though, after this contract expires, for sure. I feel like they'll go the free agent route, and they'll just kind of let people do their own thing, and they'll get a bunch of big sponsors to do the big stuff. All right. The moment that every single person has been waiting for. Yeah. Bryson.
Yes.
So we had a voice crack. That's how excited he is.
Yes. Hey, man, I'm still going.
He is. Yeah, you'll get there, bro. It is time for 21 questions. This is your own personal little fire round. You're a good-looking guy. I know that when you're courting all the shorties, as they say in the streets,
on TikTok,
yeah, you're playing 21 questions with them. You know, you're doing your thing and asking all the questions, and it always ends up bad. This is your own version of that, but with less bad
nudity.
Things. Yeah, nudity. Sure. Are you ready?
Yes.
You're not, but we'll get started anyways. Number one, red or blue?
Red.
Number two, crew socks or no shows?
Crew socks.
Number three, original boxes or drop fronts?
Original boxes.
Number four, favorite YouTuber?
Peter McKinnon.
I don't know who that is. Number five, Jason Mark or Crep Protect?
Jason Mark.
Number six, Bape or Supreme?
Bape.
Number seven, Glow in the Dark or 3M?
3M.
Number eight, what is pictured on the Canadian nickel?
Canadian nickel? A beaver?
Yes, that is correct. Number nine, Dunks or Air Forces?
Ooh, Air Forces.
Number 10, favorite Jordan model above the AJ 14?
17s.
Oh, that's a real good one. The briefcase.
Like,
yeah. Yeah. Nice,
briefcase. Nice. I got a backstory. We'll loop around.
Oh, yeah, we'll get into that. Number 11, what's your favorite sneaker brand not named Nike, Jordan, or Adidas?
New Balance. I think that's a good one.
Hmm.
Definitely. Number 12, cumulostratus is a kind of what?
Cumulostratus?
Yes.
I have no idea.
It's a kind of cloud. Cloud. Yeah. It is a kind of cloud. Number 13, who is the most influential person in sneakers right now?
Travis Scott.
Okay. Number four.
Ask me next week with Virgil.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, 100%. I'll ask you at the end of the episode and it'll be Kanye. So, I mean, it flows. Yeah. Number 14. What are three sneaker heading essentials?
Mm. Oh, shoehorns. Shelves.
Okay.
Why not? I don't know. And then a good cleaner.
Okay.
Nice.
Good.
Number 15, elephant print or cement print?
Elephant print.
Number 16, laces tied tight in a bow or hanging loose?
Loose.
Number 17, what is the capital city of Saskatchewan?
Saskatchewan? Saskatchewan?
Regina is the correct answer. Regina. Number 18, spell Saskatchewan.
A-S-A-S-K-A-T-C-H-E-W-A-N.
Yes, he got it. He got it. Very impressive. Number 19, in what province is Red Deer located?
Red Deer?
Yes.
Saskatchewan?
No, Alberta.
I thought it was a trick question.
Number 20, what is your number one grail?
Ooh, number one grail. I would say pure platinums. Easy two.
Okay, I'll show you those after. Number 21. Would you rather receive your number one grail or three other pairs from your top 10?
Number one grail for sure. Ooh, also, okay. Pigeons is another one.
Ooh, pigeons.
Oh, pigeons.
Damn, you would pick, which one would you pick if you had to pick between the two? They're right in front of you right now. Pigeons or pure plots?
Pigeon dunks are like 30K or something like that.
So 20K. So you're taking the money.
Hey, man, I'm in my parents' house. I need to get that.
Take the money and run. I don't hate it. So next up, we call this segment your soulography. So we just want to get to know you a little bit, learn what kind of makes you tick in the sneaker game. So first up, the most obvious, what got you into sneakers in the first place?
Oh, man. So for sure, the reason I got into sneakers is because of my older cousins. So growing up, I have a big family. My mom was one of 10 kids, and so I have a lot of cousins.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I looked up to them like crazy. They were, you know, I'm from Mississauga. They're, you know, they're Toronto boys. So I always just was like, thought they were the coolest guys ever. They would always wear cool kicks. I would comment on it. And then one day, my older cousin, Aaron, shout out Aaron if he's listening. He was like, yo, let me show you something. He grabbed my hand. He took me out to his room. And inside of his closet, floor to ceilings, you know, similar to Lawrence, similar to you, just in the background. Floor to ceilings, his sneakers stacked up. And he would pull one out and like show me, tell me about it.
Cool.
And one of those shoes was the Air Jordan 17 in the briefcase with the CD-ROM. And I was just, my mind blew from that point. So I've always, you know, been into kicks, you know, would go into Foot Locker, ask my parents for stuff, get denied. And then and then once that happened, it was just like fascination. Instantly, I would like go online and start looking and researching about kicks. This was probably in about 2007. But those were the MSN days. My MSN display picture used to be a pair of Air Jordan 1s.
Nice.
I had no idea, like, you know, what they were worth or how to get them or anything. And then it wasn't until I got a job in my first job pushing carts at Metro in about 2009.
Which Metro? Shout it out.
Sheridan Mall.
There it is.
I hated that place. Really come up, you know? And so it wasn't until, you know, I started saving money. And then of course, like the first couple of Jordans I bought, they were like Team Jordans. They were like the flight, whatever. Actually the first Jordan I ever got was the Air Jordan Be Loyal, which actually re-released recently, but they're like $250. I'm like, I'm not going to spend $250. Anyways, that's it. And then at that time, you know, Complex became it was obviously a huge thing. So I would frequent the top 50 dunks of all time.
Cool.
The Air Top 100, Air Forces, top Air, like they had so many of these lists of and cool articles. So that was really, you know, looking at Complex and Hypebeast. That's sort of when, you know, my passion for sneakers sort of blossomed.
Nice. That's dope.
Yeah.
So what would you say was your kind of timeline like? So you got in, obviously, with your cousin introducing new stuff. Once you started buying stuff, I feel like everyone starts in one place and kind of transitions their style and the pairs that they frequent in their rotation, and it kind of changes over time. What was it kind of like for you? Like, it started with your Jordan True Grit or whatever it was called. Be loyal.
They look just like the Air Jordan 6, by the way.
Okay. I wasn't doubting if it's a nice shoe or anything. I'm not familiar. You were basically the original Travis Scott then. Okay, that's pretty cool. We'll call it that, right? So after the Be Loyal, how did you kind of transition and where did you go and where are you at now?
Yeah, so my first retro after that was the Wolf Grey Air Jordan 5. So nice. That sort of puts you in a timeline of where things happened. After that was the 2011 Air Jordan 4 release, which is a great, obviously, the white cement 4, sorry, that which was, you know, a great shoe, obviously, but the quality during that time was just terrible.
Thumbs down.
If you look at the shoe, it's leather, but there's not one crease on it. And it's like, how is that possible? Either way. Yeah. From there, you know, once again, I was a student. I'm still on a budget, you know, like, After that was the I went to Spain on a school trip, and when I was there, I went into Foot Locker, and you wouldn't believe it. And this was when every Air Jordan GR was selling out. On the wall, it was the Bordeaux 7, it was the Air Jordan 10. There was all of these like crazy shoes that you know were sitting because it was in Europe, right?
It's different there,
I ended up buying a pair of Air Max 90s. They were like just a GR colorway, and the Air Jordan 10. In the Chicago colorway. So I was huge into Jordans at the time, and that's sort of you know, my true passion still to this day are Jordans. But of course, you know, I just being a fan of sneakers and fashion in general, I've all kinds of different sneakers, from Yeezys to, you know, the other Adidas models and stuff like that. So yeah, right now it's just, you know, there's a bit of a process when it comes to copying now, in terms of, you know, what can I review on the channel? But ultimately my passion and my excitement for sneakers still drives what I cop today. If I don't have that immediate gravitation to a pair of shoes, it's just not going to work for me. So that's kind of where I'm at today.
You mentioned it earlier, but you kind of just brought it up again. Like, do you find that the channel, and we're going to get into the whole YouTube thing in a little bit, but do you find that the channel influences what you buy in a sense? Because you just said, you like earlier, you mentioned that you bought some Puma that was kind of out of your comfort zone, or what you would typically buy because you wanted to review something different, give some like different views. Do you find that it influences at all what you're buying, or are you still trying to stay in your lane for the most part?
It's a bit of both, to be honest. I do want to put out a different variety of content. I'm always trying to, you know, put out different stuff just to mix it up and not seem as if I'm too, you know, one brand heavy or to the other. But yeah, there's when I sort of separate myself and take a step back and see what releases are there, you know, does come a point where, you know, if I see a Puma shoe, just because it's not hype doesn't mean that it's not an amazing shoe. And in those Future Riders that I picked up, I'm really, really excited about those. But ultimately, there is a bit of both. You know, I'm going to be completely honest with you. You know, I do sort of rub my hands when I get a pair of Air Jordan 1s. I don't know that's going to do well, right? So, but ultimately, I would never review a shoe or put something up that I don't truly like. You know, and that's just kind of how it is. There is a balance between, you know, making a video that you know is going to do well and your authentic voice. And I think people can tell when you do fake it.
Just one thing you mentioned, like how it doesn't have to always be hyped. Something that Sean Goh once told us, and I noticed that it was true for you. Sean said that his best video that he ever made, like review wise, was like something like a Tavas or something, like a no-name Nike, like a Kaishi, like something that's literally some no-name nothing shoe, but it got like hundreds of thousands of views. And it could honestly just be because it's one of those shoes that the general public is buying and they want to see what it's like, right? Like sneakerheads only make up such a small percentage. And I went to your page and I noticed that I don't know if I scrolled far enough, but like 26,000 views or something on a Nike Blazer, like just a white and black blazer for you.
60,000.
Sorry, yeah, I apologize. Like, yeah. 60,600, but who's counting, right? It's insane. Yeah, it's like, and it's such a simple shoe, and it's could just be because the general population wants to see what it's like, right?
The algorithm doesn't care what shoe it is. The YouTube it works in its own ways. And whenever I think, oh, I got a banger, this is good, it never works. And whenever it's always just like, yeah, I'll put this up there, it always it does well, and it puts pressure on me to make sure that every video that I put out is of a certain quality. And you're absolutely right that's just kind of how it works sometimes. And I'm realizing now in the 2 years that I've been on YouTube is that a big part about it is not necessarily the most hype shoe, especially for the types of videos that I make. It's also what shoe does everybody else have? So, you know, the common person who may not know everything about sneakers, they're going to have an Air Force One white on white. So I got to make sure that when I put that video out, it's going to be good because this is a shoe that multiple people are going to be looking online to sort of figure out how they can put it into an outfit or something like that.
Exactly. The guy with like the stack of sneakers behind him in his room doesn't need to know what an Air Force One is going to look like on foot, right? It's the guy who's he's buying his back to school shoes and he's like, yo, I got to kill it. So that's a real good point. Yeah. So we know what got you into sneakers. We know what your kind of timeline is like. What's keeping you into sneakers now? Like, why are you still doing this however many years later?
Sneakers, man, like, it is just, honestly, it's a lifelong passion of mine. And I know that as I, you know, I'm 26, as I getting older and I'm maturing into my professional career as well, I really do put a focus on, you know, working on stuff that I'm truly passionate about it. I know it's cliche to think of, you know, try to do something you're passionate about because then you'll love it. It never becomes work. You know what I mean? So I really am trying to just share my views and opinions and my creative ways online. And YouTube has been a great platform for that. And I'm, you know, the ultimate end goal is that I could be doing it full time. But in the meantime, I'm, you know, grinding, doing that full time on YouTube and then my other job that I have. So, but ultimately I'm just a guy who likes shoes. In some ways, I think it sort of chose me in a sense because my cousin, he showed me his collection, which my head exploded. And so it's not necessarily something that I found on my own. It was something that somebody showed to me. And because of that sort of spark, I mean, at the end of the day, remove YouTube, remove hype, I still have an obsession and passion for sneakers, just like, you know, you guys do and just like everybody else does. So it truly is just something that I will love and I will love forever. People throw around the term like, oh, the industry is dead or sneakers are, it's just ridiculous. Like, you know what I mean? So it really just does come from a true passion for what I love.
Anyone who got into sneakers in like 2011 knows it's because they like sneakers, because there was not really any social media. And the social media we did have was like BBM messenger groups and like really bad quality photos on Instagram and Twitter. So
And I look back at shoes that I camped for, and those are some of my fondest memories.
Exactly. You know? 100%.
I actually prefer it. I know I touched upon the whole violence issue before, but if I could, because I have a genuine excitement for when a release is coming up and I'm really pumped for the shoe, and I find it fun to set my alarm for 5 a.m. to go, you know, go get Tim's and go drive downtown. Like that's exciting to me. So I wish to go back to that, but you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, like if we want to get on a side tangent real quick, I agree with you 100%. I think all three of us would share the same sentiment that like camping in like the early 2010s or like late 2000s or whatever you want to call it was like, that's where you met like everyone I know now in the sneaker game is where I met them, was camping at those releases. It's kind of like the OG sneakerheads, if you want to call it that. We're all camping out at that time. And it was lineups of 15 people. I think that's why it was so enjoyable, because I've done it not super recently, but even in the past 4 years, and you line up outside of 306 Yonge, the Jordan store on Yonge Street in Toronto, and it's you and 1,500 of your closest friends all within a 3 meter span.
That Travis Scott one release was so hectic.
I can't even imagine. Yeah.
It was so crazy. And you know what? There's a feeling of like, I don't know about you guys, but just feeling of stupidity that like you're waiting in a line with 2,000 other people that day alone. And it's just like, you've waited an hour and it's like, what am I like? I know I'm not going to get them.
Oh, you're talking about lining up for a raffle. Yeah, that's a whole other thing. Lining up for a raffle. Like when I lined up for the Travis Scott 4, it was like me and 500 other people. And I still felt quite a big sense of stupidity. Don't get me wrong. But like, it's not the same as it was. Like when you were lining up back in the day, it was you lining up with 15, 20 people and everyone's chill. And you're like, yo, I'm going to go get Tim's. Who wants anything? Like you said, now it's like, if I step foot out of this line to go to the washroom, I'm going to get like crucified when I come back. So it's definitely not the same vibe at all. Like, the game is different. The game is different. Raffles in that sense is the way to go because it's miserable lining up now, I think. But to each their own, definitely. But anyways, let's get into YouTubering, whatever we want to call it. So like we mentioned, we don't really have a lot of YouTubers on here. Shango doesn't count because we really dislike him. But so it's been quite some time since we've had another one. But so when did you, I think you might have mentioned it, but when did you get into YouTubing?
Yeah, I got into it February of 2018.
Okay.
So a little over 2 years now.
And what was the reason? Like, why did you start it in the first place?
So, you know, hindsight's 2020, but if I could go back, I would have started much earlier, as a lot of people say in certain scenarios. But I was big. I've always been big on YouTube. It's just sort of something that passed with time. And you know what? I remember, you know, watching YouTube videos about sneakers, thinking about, oh, you know what? I could be doing this, but I just had an excuse for every type of, you know, reason. I did, oh, I don't have enough money, so I can't cop enough to, you know, make enough videos. But the biggest part about it was that I was just like had low self-esteem. I was just, you know, a teenager, and I just wish that, you know, I had more confidence back then to just put myself out there, because there is a feeling of like, oh, I kind of feel stupid. And you know what, your first 20 videos, you're gonna kind of look like an idiot. They're not gonna be good quality stuff. So for me, I eventually was just like, you know what, I'm just going to make a video, put it out there. So my first video that I made was like an OVO collection. So just in terms of timeline, it was the OVO Air Jordan 8. That review was like the first video that I put online. Okay. And ever since then, it just became something that I've, you know, been into. I'm also like a big tech guy. So like, you know, my dad got his first DSLR camera when I think around like 2006-ish. So I was always been into cameras and videography and stuff like that. So it was just sort of two passions combining together. And, you know, ever since then, I've put out over 100 videos, and I think I'm almost at 6,000 subscribers since then. So things are going pretty well. And, you know, I absolutely love making videos, and especially with, you know, the whole sneaker part of it as well. So.
Still, I mean, I think a lot of people, including us, can share the same sentiment of, man, we should have started this 4 years earlier, because it seems like everyone who was one of the first movers, if you will, is doing very well, because you have to be first. If you're not first, you're last. So if you start early enough and you're one of the original guys doing it, like same with podcasts, like if we started this even probably a year earlier, we'd probably be leaps and bounds ahead of where we are now. But like you said, as long as you like doing it, then who the hell cares, right?
For sure. It's just something that your passion has to drive your work. And if you don't love it, you know what? And I can even catch it on myself. If ever I'm making a video and it's just like, I know that I won't like the outcome. I know I won't like the finished product. It's like pulling teeth. It's like, I absolutely hate it. So I constantly have to figure out ways to get inspired to make videos, because it's a side hustle for me. If it's not a priority, it's gonna fall back. And so I mentioned to you earlier that one of my favorite YouTubers is a guy named Peter McKinnon.
Yes.
And he's a videographer. So he has no affiliation with sneakers. And over the past, I would say about 4 months, one of my biggest successes on YouTube has been increasing my quality of my videos. And the biggest way that I've been able to do that is watch other professional video makers, videographers on YouTube, and learning what techniques they've been. And you know what, that Blazer video that I did, the way I edited it was much different than how you would see a normal sneaker review. I wanted to make it sort of like a vlog style video, where I'm like, hey, I'm going to shoot this at a cool scene and have a cool background. So let me take the camera with me. Let me take the audience with me. And so I think for that video in particular, you can really tell that, you know, it's sort of more of a connection. I'm more talking to the screen as opposed to, you know, just talking about the shoe in general. So that was a big learning for me. And ever since then, I've sort of tried to make my videos more creative and add more storytelling elements to it. And you know what? I have a good concept for this Puma video that I have coming up. One of them, the Future Driver, it's more of like a streetwear type video, a streetwear type sneaker, and then the Ralph Sampson Low and the Triple White. It's more of like a menswear video. So the concept that I have for this video is that, one, I'm going to take the shots in more like the financial district of Toronto, and then the other one is going to be more in like a Queen Street graffiti alley type thing. So the more elements of storytelling that I can add to the video, the better it's just going to come across. And that's basically been my game plan ever since. So if you go look in my earlier video, no, you know what? Don't look in my earlier video. I'm terrible. And I'm cursed, because my most watched video to this date was a Supreme waist bag video that I did. And it's the worst video of all time. But yet it was just timing, of course, is a big component into YouTube. So
nice. Honestly, hey, you're not supposed to be good when you start. Like, same way, no one go listen to anything before like episode 30 from us, because it's just
it's so humbling that, And you know what? When you're young, you're naive, and you think like, oh, whatever. Like a year seems like an eternity. And now when I look back, I'm like, holy shit, this video I made was, it seems like it was yesterday that I made that. Mm. I've come such a long way since then. So,
yeah. So you've come a long way. It sounds like you've got the right idea. Where do you see it kind of going? Like, where do you want to see the channel go in the future? And do you think, I know you mentioned it earlier, but do you consider it being a potential full-time thing down the road? Or is that, you're not sure yet?
Yeah, so money on YouTube is a big thing. So there's this big, like, you know, conspiracy or like curiosity behind how much YouTubers make. So I'm going to be completely transparent about it just because I basically don't make a lot of money on it. So so since I've started, so I monetized in August of last year. And I think since then I've probably made like around $700 just on ad revenue. But based off of, you know, the research that I've done on how to take YouTube or any type of digital thing and make it full time, you have to have different revenue streams. So they also encourage you to make YouTube ad revenue your least favorite or your least significant revenue source. Hmm. So that should just be like an afterthought, like a supplementary type thing. Things like affiliate links, things like brand collaborations. These are more things that are going to bring more opportunities to the channel. And those are the guys that are obviously going to pay you more than, you know what, a 2 cent view on a video, right? So this is something that I want to take full time. I'm playing the long haul. So you know what, I'm just hoping that, you know, through my hard work, through my dedication, and through collaborations like with, you know, working with you guys you know, even just this podcast is a good opportunity for me to just get my voice out there. So I hope, you know, 2020 was going to be a big year for collaborations in terms of me working with other people. There's a guy, Sneaker Talk. I don't know if you guys know
from Christian,
YouTuber. Him and I were supposed to have, you know, a lot of talks into collaborating as well, but you know, because of this whole scenario, it's sort of taken an afterburner. But So YouTube in general, it's a good opportunity to make money on your passion. But on ad revenue alone, it's really tough. You really have to get into the hundreds of thousands of views in order to, you know, make five figures on YouTube.
Damn, I actually had no idea that was even a thing. For some reason, I just thought put out cool YouTube videos, get ad revenue, be rich. I didn't know there was.
It was at one point, and there's a famous YouTuber named David Dobrik. He's one of the most popular ones in the entire platform right now. And he was saying that around 5 or 6 years ago, he was close to a million. Take this in. He was making $200,000 a month on YouTube revenue, and then there was this thing called Adpocalypse. And mind you, the crazy thing is that YouTubers are like teenagers and like young adults. And like, there was this point in time, you know, you think of PewDiePie, whatever. Those guys were just literally like raking in money. It's so crazy. But like I said, there was this thing called Adpocalypse where they're like, oh, if you swear in a video, now we're going to take it away. Or, if your subject matter isn't age appropriate, or we're going to take it away. And so that was another thing, because advertisers can't control the content that's being put out there. They took themselves away.
Mm. So basically, guys, what Bryson just said is we're not going to make a lot of money off YouTube because we
don't get discouraged.
Yeah, man. Our recorded podcasts have too much swearing in them. So you're saying that our 11 views per video on YouTube, which is about what we get, because most people don't listen to podcasts on YouTube, is not going to make us rich, because I did have high hopes for those 11 views.
Podcasting is one of the unique platforms, though, where you build a genuine connection and you're building what's known as super fans. So if where it comes to a point where you guys have a shoe haul event and you guys have some merch that you're selling there, you best believe that the podcast listeners, they're going to show up, they're going to spend some money, and that's just how it is. So podcasting is a great platform to make money, and you know what, you just got to stick with it. You know, when it comes to a lot of these, you know, digital platforms, you got to be playing the long haul, because you know, if I had started when I want to started back in whatever 2012, that's a different scenario. But now, you know, you started in 2018, you got to be playing the long haul. You got to put in the put in the work. So,
Do you think it's gonna last? Like, I think that's kind of on everyone's mind in terms of everything, really, in sneakers right now. I guess YouTube is kind of lumped in with that, but like the influencer bubble, sneakers reselling, all this stuff. Everyone's asking, when's it gonna burst? When's it gonna burst? How long it's gonna last? Do you see YouTube kind of sticking around for a really long time, or?
Yeah, I think it will. I think it's going to go under a lot of changes over the next few years. And I think that there is going to be probably less opportunities to make money in the future. Don't quote me. I'm obviously not a psychic. But I do think there is still a great opportunity to make money. The great thing about YouTube is that, and how it differs from other platforms, is A, it actually pays you. You know, you post an Instagram photo, doesn't pay you.
Podbean, hello.
What's that?
I said Podbean. Are you listening? Yeah. You gotta learn to pay people.
Yeah. So YouTube is a unique platform where you post a video and the video has its own lifespan. Like, you could post a video about, you know, a Travis Scott shoe, and then 2 years down the road, somehow it just catches traction at the right time. Whereas with Instagram and with other platforms, you post it once and after 12 hours, nobody will see it again. So the great thing about YouTube is that you can make views while you snooze. So even when you're sleeping, though, people are still watching videos, right? In different time zones. So I still think that if anyone's listening, that you're thinking about doing it, I would 100% encourage you to do it, but it's going to be a lot of work.
If you could give one piece of advice, other than it's going to be a lot of work, to somebody who wants to start a YouTube channel right now, 2020, what would it be?
Just get started. I get a lot of DMs about people, hey, I'm thinking about, you know, starting out a video. Do I have any advice? And these are the same people asking, you know, that were like me back when I hadn't started, where it was, you're finding excuses for yourself. Because here's the reality, as I mentioned before, your first 20 videos are going to be shit. Nobody is going to watch them. That's just how it is. There's over a billion hours of video posted every single day to YouTube. That's just how it is. So just literally get your phone. You don't need any equipment. Get your phone. Make sure it's sideways. I see people
posting. Oh, man.
Like, just don't even give a second. Anyway, the video. And then make sure your thumbnails are good. That's it.
Thumbnail. I've heard a lot about the thumbnails. I don't know a whole lot about it. Do you want to give a quick tutorial on the thumbnails real quick? Because I didn't know they were so important, but I saw a bunch of articles recently about the thumbnails. Do you want to explain to people?
Yeah, so thumbnails are really important, and people differ and people find success doing the opposite of what I'm about to tell you. But either way, there is a common thing. There's been studies shown that if you have a face in a video, it will perform better than thumbnails that do not have. People just have this gravitational pull towards people's faces, whether it's emotion. That's why you see people, and I do it myself. It's just like a practice on YouTube of people where they're like, holy shit, like this.
Pointing at the camera, pointing at something,
Sensationalism on YouTube. But it's a real thing, and it sort of adds to that storytelling. If something exciting happens in the video, you know, your thumbnail may be your only opportunity, if you don't have a lot of followers, to attract people where they're like, holy shit, what's that? So for sneaker reviews, definitely have a photo of the sneaker, but also have text. Text is another thing. And your text should be different than the title of the video. So if you are doing one of the things that I do are how to style videos, where I do a lookbook of like outfits with sneakers, right? So if my title of my video is Air Jordan 1 Lookbook, I want to make sure that the text on the screen says Air Jordan 1 Outfit Ideas. It's sort of the same thing, but it's different. So, you know, you definitely have text in your video. So imagine this screen that you guys are seeing here, the audio viewers, the listeners won't be able to see it, but one side should be text. One side should be, the middle should be the product, and then one side should be like you holding up the product or something. So that's just like some of the successes that I found in some of the research that I've done.
Nice.
Do you do clickbaity stuff? Like, oh my God, look what I found at the Nike outlet. You wouldn't believe it. $6,000 sneakers sitting at the outlet. Are those like the, Never. No, none of those?
No, you can't do that. That's just, but you're just going to make people upset. And if you get more votes, the algorithm works in a certain way. They're like, why is this video so disliked? So
this
is how it is. You can't. Plus, why would you do that? You're just lying. Like,
clickbait, bro. It's 2020. Yeah. We need I need you, the YouTuber. Bryce Kicks is on True to Size this week. I need you to think of a clickbait title that we can use for the podcast. So that we're going to get. a ton of listens.
Okay, ready?
Yeah.
Oh my God, Hot Guy drops knowledge on YouTube.
Hot guy.
How many of the like surprise face emojis should we put at the end of that? Like the at hands on cheek. At least 1,000. That's what I figured. Yeah.
Fire emojis.
All of the emojis anything in my recent emojis has to go in there. All right. So we've been finishing off every single week's episode recently with a frontline worker shout out. Basically, we just want to show love to all the people who are out there fighting the pandemic right now and risking their lives every single day to make sure that we're safe. And this week, Joel actually nominated somebody for the frontline worker shout out. So do you want to throw it out there who you nominated, Joel?
Yeah, sure. No problem. His name is Anthony. Well, his IG name is Anthony F. DeLeon. He's a frontline worker. He works at a Downsview Health Center, healthcare actually, and he actually contacted COVID, and he fought through it, and he survived. And it just goes to show that, you know, he's actually my son's. He's actually Jomar's barber, so he cuts Jomar's hair, and it just actually hits home when you know somebody that catches it and that goes through it, and for him to like fight through it and survive and you know just keep a smile on his face is just it's just powerful. And you know that's my shout out, as well as like everybody else's shout out ever since we put that up on our page.
Few DMs about Anthony.
Yeah, we got a ton of them.
Anthony,
yeah.
So shout out Anthony Abdelion. Thank you. All love, man, and you know, just keep going, man. Keep going.
For real. Shout out to Anthony. I mean, I've met him a couple times now, and every single time, the happiest guy, like the always the most positive dude. And
always a smile. Always.
And Jomar always has nicer hair than me, so he must be a pretty good barber too.
Shout out to Kirkhead, by the way. I'm looking more like Kramer each and every day. Just gets higher.
There it is. That's it. We have Cosmo Kramer on True to Size. Come listen. That's the there it is. There's the clickbait title we needed. Bryson, thank you so much for being here. This was really fun. We appreciate it. We hope to have you back soon. Yeah, it was really good. That was really fun.
Appreciate the opportunity, guys.
Of course. Thank you, Bryson, and thank you everyone who has supported and or been a part of the podcast. Wherever you're taking in the episode, please leave a comment, review, follow, and or subscribe. We've got a Facebook group we like to use as a forum, sell stuff and connect with you guys called CGS Talk. You can find it on facebook.com/groups/CGS.talk. We've also got a website we use for reviews, recap stories, and much, 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 much more called CanadaGotSold.ca. If you have any questions or suggestions for any of our segments, like the Soul Poll, Sneaker Heading for Dummies, or the Fire Round, shoot us a DM or email us at CanadaGotSold@gmail.com. Of course, do not forget to use hashtag CanadaGotSold on Instagram for a feature. I have been Lawrence Hopkins. You can find me at LDoggyStyles on Instagram. Woof.
I'm Joel Hernandez. You can find me at Joe Dooney, JO_D3OsNEY.
My name is Alvin Quincy, and you can find me at MISTERQ and then Mart.
And Bryson, where can they find you? Yes. Oh, you were going to jump in. I apologize. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No worries, man. Go ahead. You can find me online on YouTube, on Instagram at BryceKicks, BryceKicks.
Perfect. He also knows how to spell Saskatchewan, too, for anybody wondering.
What the hell, Mary?
Thank you for listening to us talk about sneakers for 120 episodes. And please remember to rock your kicks. This has been True to Size. We have been CGS and Bryce Kicks, and we are out. Peace. Bryson, that was real good. That was pretty good.
Thanks, bro.
Thank you, bro. You killed that shit.
Yeah, that was fantastic.
Yeah, man.
Thank you.
Next time is going to be a YouTube one, though.
Yeah, we'll actually be on YouTube.
We'll actually be on YouTube, but we'll have Bryce on and shit. Crazy.